Good morning. This is the intro where Bettina told me I have to do the intro. I normally don't feel like I can do that because one time I said the word podcast and it sounded so weird. So I feel like I can't say podcast. This is the first time we're ever recording an intro to the episode. And we wanted to do that today because we wanted to thank everybody for your support. We have reached almost 1,000 downloads. And yesterday, Bettina texted me something where 1,000 downloads is a huge milestone in podcasting and how quickly you can reach 1,000 downloads is variable. It can be 2 years, it could be 1 year, but it takes a while to get a podcast off the ground. And we are approaching 1,000 downloads at 3 months. So this is our 3 month anniversary. We've done 13 episodes. And because Bettina is very quarterly oriented and schedule oriented, she wants to delineate each quarter. So we're doing 13 week seasons. So that means that this week we are kicking off season 2 of What's the Temp podcast. I'm sure I'm going to hate the way I say that because I heard it once and I cringed. But usually Bettina does the intros, but she just said, hey, hit it. So now here we are. We want to thank everyone for your support. We are so genuinely thrilled to be here with you each week. And what else, Bettina?
I just wanted to take this moment and celebrate us and our listeners for us showing up every week, our listeners for being there with us through life's ups and downs. And it's an exciting time. So let's just celebrate the end of season 1 and the beginning of season 2. Many more laughs, many more tears, many more temp checks. Let's do it.
And also the theme of season 2, Bettina informed me, is community, which I absolutely love. So community, overtones of community coming at you.
Coming at you. So stay with us.
Enjoy the episode.
Stay with us. See you soon.
Peace.
Welcome to the What's the Temp podcast. My name is Bettina and I am coming in hot.
I'm Jen and I need to check in so I don't check out.
Good morning, Jen. Thank you so much for joining me today for this talk. Today's topic is sacred rest, and this should be exciting, as you know they all are for me. But
they are consistently exciting for you.
They really are.
And it gets me excited because I come in more of a neutral energy, and then you're always on fire.
I'm like pumped up. It's almost like When you can tell when things are crazy in my life because I'm just like, yeah, good morning, how you doing? Welcome to What's the Temp podcast. But it's like most days, 99% of the time.
I don't think there's been anything like that yet. But I do notice it when I call you unplanned and you're like, what? That's the only time I ever hear you be like that.
But I have to say, I think that might be changing a little bit because you said something to me recently. I think it was on last week's call, actually. You said something to me recently about how many things I'm working on and how great it would be, or just the idea of streamlining. So I spent literally a week kind of looking at what that could look like because I've been such a high output individual. I was actually a little bit offended in the beginning, honestly.
I know.
But I love you and we can say that and noticed. We can acknowledge that. But
I could tell I was like, she does not like that I said that. But
but you know, I am kind of introspective.
What did I say to you? I said
that I overcommit.
You're overcommitting.
And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Listen, I tell it like it is, okay? And you know that about me. I call it like I see it.
But this week has been interesting because I've looked at, okay, what are the things? And I had already been in that place. Like, you know, do the books have to come out right now? Do I have to work on all of these projects right now? I do think I should write every day because if I want to be, if I have these grandiose desires of becoming a Nobel Prize winning writer, then I need to write every day, right? But at the same time, I feel that it's not what you do, it's how you do it. And I need to do it in a way that feeds me and supports my life and my lifestyle and not takes away or feels like a chore. So I appreciate you saying that to me because it made me look at all the things that I was doing and come to a place where I could say, okay, well, if I only worked on certain things for certain times of the day, so I have as a result of that little conversation, and I thank you for it, I was able to create a new schedule for my work days that just started this Monday. And I've got to say, it includes a more wholesome me because it allows me, I'm back to getting up early, which, you know, I'm at my best when I'm doing that.
Yeah.
But I'm most productive because I'm just taking advantage of the early quiet time. But then also before my phone starts ringing and my family from the West Coast gets to calling and, you know, pulling and needing and things like that. So I'm so much more productive. But I also get to include time to spend time with the people that I care about and take even better care of me. So it's beautiful, and I thank you for that.
I think it's funny that you're telling me you're offended, because I knew you were offended when I first said it.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that you found a way to revolutionize your schedule, or you know, maybe revolutionize is too strong of a word, but tweak your schedule to be of a greater benefit to you.
Absolutely. And that's what good friendship is for. Like someone that can say, hey, I see you going down this road that may not be the best direction for you. And you might want to look at that. And even if it pisses you off in the beginning, you know what I mean?
We have that relationship, though, that we can be truth tellers.
But the fact that when you know that it's someone that cares about you and only wants the best for you, then it gives you the space and the, you know, the agency to look at that and say, you know what, maybe there's some truth to this, or maybe there's something here that I can look at and improve, you know, where I am and where I'm going. So I appreciate that.
Well, you're welcome.
But let's get into these temp checks, because we can talk all day. But today's temp check is an energy.
5 minutes later.
It's an energy temp check.
Start the episode.
What's your energy temp check today?
So first of all, I forgot to say it's Tuesday. And then I was thinking, I wish we had said it's Tuesday. But sometimes I think I only say it's Tuesday when I'm coming in hot. Because Tuesday is a celebratory word. So Uncle Bob's nickname was Party Bob, and I know it's so appropriate for him because he loved a party, but I think Tuesday is a party, and today for me is not a party.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm coming in with a very low energy today, and I've done several things which you think would have remedied it. So I woke up at 4:15. Why? I don't know. Probably because I went to bed at 9:30. But I woke up at 4:15 and I just realized that I had double scheduled a work meeting and a doctor's appointment. And then, you know, when you just get that little jolt of almost like anxiety, and now I'm not in that restful place anymore because now there's something that needs to be resolved, but I can't actually resolve it right now because it's 4:15. So this little voice in my head, remember we talked about the good voice and then the other voice, the insipid voice. The good voice said to me, I knew it was the good voice because it just said it one time. It said, go do yoga. And so I was like, fine. So, because I wanted to just lay in bed, but the voice said, do yoga. So I got up, I got my coffee, I headed downstairs. And you know, I've been doing that free movement with the little 2-pound weights, those foam weights that strap onto your hand.
Yes.
So I just needed to move my body, get out of my head, because I was feeling this just unsettledness. And part of why I'm feeling unsettled is it's not me. It's just a universal feeling. There was really, really serious flooding here last night, and it was really devastating to the immediate area, not to my house, but the highway that's nearby me down the hill got completely flooded in a scary way, like that way where you see cars where the, you know, water's up to the doors and just and it was really horrible. And it also just reminded me of the Texas floods, and I keep thinking about that camp. And, you know, when it's just, there's a lot of pain that comes with a natural disaster like that, and I always think of all the animals. So then I was like, ugh, I am still feeling this feeling of almost like disappointment or dissatisfaction, even though I did, yoga while doing a meeting for an hour. And that usually knocks it out, whatever it is. Because I had done the yoga for a half hour before the meeting started. Then I jumped on a Zoom meeting. And then I hung out with my kids and made their lunches. And, you know, you would think, because mornings are so fun when you have little kids. So you would think all those things would kind of knock out the bad mood I was in. So then I thought, okay, let me go for a walk around the lake before. There's this lake in town which has, it sounds really idyllic, but there's actually a ton of traffic and noise around it. But it's still a lake, so I deal with it. And I was walking around the lake, and I knew that there was also going to be the impact of the flooding there. And it's wild the way that the flooding looks. Like, trees are out of the ground, and there's all this river matter that's come up out of the earth and is draped over fences, and it just looks crazy. And I did 2 miles, and then I came here, and, you know, come as you are. So here I am. I need to check in so I don't check out, and I think connection is what I need right now. So that's my temp. So actual temp. So to quantify it, 47 outdoor temp.
Wow. Chilly.
Yeah, it's chilling, and I can't seem to really warm it up. So when I can't warm it up, I just have to surrender to kind of just meet myself where I'm at. And sometimes when I was in early sobriety, my sponsor would say to me, why do you have an expectation of yourself that you should be not exactly where you're at? And I think that's a really legitimate question. Why do I have the expectation of myself that I need to be in a good mood all the time? I am the type of person who always looks on the positive, and I tend to gravitate towards finding positive things and things I like about things. But when something happens to a community, and when something happens to, you know, even if the community is not nearby me, because there's my immediate community and then there's the Texas community, but it just makes you feel things. And I just did an energy healing with someone who I really, really respect recently, because I felt like I was a little bit out of balance, and I did it this weekend. I'm not really a believer in these things, full transparency. And I also think that there's something to it. I just don't know if it's something that I can get to or not, I guess. So I think some people have the capability to work with energy in certain ways, but I figured I would lean into it. And the coolest thing happened, which is that I opened my eyes at one point, and I was outside, and I saw all these sparkles of light flying around, which is just, you know, in my mind, something that can probably happen if your eyes have been closed for a while.
A long time.
And but I was just enjoying it. Then I closed my eyes, and then I opened them up later, and there they were again. And after I sat back up and came out of my meditative state, she said, because I had asked her to do my lungs, because my lungs are feeling the feeling that I used to get when I was vaping too much, but I don't vape anymore. So I was just worried about my lungs. And she said, when I got to the lungs, it was metals from the vaping, and it appeared as these sparkles of light flying around everywhere.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's so funny, because when you gave me that visual, what I was thinking of, sometimes we look at things so myopically, and we're so intensely focused on some things that you know how I talk about you cease taking in new information?
Yeah.
This stuff is happening, but because we're so zoomed in on some of the things that we're looking at, we don't see it. And so I think it's really cool to be able to come out of the intensity of life and see that beauty. You know what I mean? The beauty of light.
I feel like I saw another layer. And the fact that she said, she described, because I'm not a visual person. Mm-hmm. The fact that she described my vision exactly what I was seeing made me feel some type of way.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
What, my friend, sorry for dragging that on forever. What is your energy temp today?
It's okay. My energy temp is, you know, my favorite temp is about, 72 degrees.
Yeah.
Sunny and warm, just not too hot, not too breezy, slight breeze. I'm a good 72 today. And the reason for that is having been in California for the last month, dealing with, you know, family stuff and, you know, just really reconnecting with family, it was great to get back to the Midwest and reconnect with myself. I realized for the first time, because I've been here for a year, that California is no longer my home. And I felt it with this trip.
Mm.
I felt that I wasn't at home. And my mom, it was funny, I was talking to my mom about it yesterday. She said, that's actually good, you know, because then you'll really start making where you are home.
Mm.
And it's funny, that's the intensity and that's the intentionality that I came back with. That was why it was so easy for me to look at my schedule and say, how can this improve to support, you know, what my focus is in this season? You know, my energy levels are really good because you do remember that for years I used to get up at 4 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
and I was so productive and I was even happier because productivity just lights me up, like completing tasks and feeling accomplished and changing people's lives. That just lights me up. And so, I guess because I was, you know, grieving for a long time, the death of my marriage, then I had to grieve the passing of my brother. So it was just, it's been a lot going on. But I guess I settled within myself that change is inevitable, you know, embrace it. And move forward with intentionality. And that's just where I am. So I've given myself some deadlines. I have some, you know, very concrete plans. And I've even just determined that I'm going to serve in a different way. Like, I've not been that person to go out and create community around myself. But because I'm in a new place and my home is different and I'm new here, I have to go out and get into the community. And so It's so interesting to be in this space because I'm in this headspace, heart space right now. I'm noticing things just coming to me. So a couple of days ago, I'm in the house and I hear the front door open. I'm actually living in the house that belongs to one of our favorite listeners. And I'm in the back of the house and I hear the front door opening. And I'm like, who's opening the door at this time of day, right? And I go out and I realize she didn't have the confirmation that I was back in town. And so on the inside of the door, there was a bag, and inside the bag was a big bag of lightly salted Lay's and double dark chocolate Milano cookies.
No. No.
And it brought me so much joy because I didn't feel like I needed anything or wanted anything, but it was just like the perfect thing. And so I texted her. And I'm like, she's like, I didn't even know you were back, but I wanted those to be waiting for you when you got here. It was so cool. So that happened. And then yesterday, as I was working on this schedule, as I was finalizing the schedule, one of the chunks of time that I built into my day was working out because I felt like I ate my way through California because, you know, we always talk about how the best food is in Cali.
Mm-hmm.
And so
you're eating out a lot, probably.
I ate out a lot. And, you know, I cook every day here, cook a lot here. But out there, it was all the different flavors from around the world. I ate around the world in California. So I feel like I gained weight and I was like, okay, I got to get back on and I got to get back focused and I got to work out and all this and that. And I don't know if I told you that I had ran into the last time I worked out and I ran into some weirdness going on the walking trail. And so it made me uncomfortable with the walking trail.
You didn't tell me that.
Well, basically a man came out of the bushes.
What?
And when I walked on past, I stopped to take my hoodie off and wrap it around my waist. And then some more men came out of those same bushes where I just walked past. So that made me very uncomfortable. And so I was like, I have to figure out something else. But the alternative was walking to the mall, which is where a lot of older people, which there's nothing wrong with that. It's just like, I prefer to be outside. So I was really upset about that. So yesterday, I get a call from a friend and she's like, hey, I don't know if you want, but we're going to add you to our family YMCA account.
And really?
So I can go to the gym. And it's a brand spanking new YMCA. So what I'm saying all of this to say that the second I get into alignment, everything I need comes to me.
Yeah.
And isn't that a beautiful place to be in? So when I say my energy check is perfect today, it's perfect for all these reasons because I'm able to get outside of my head and into the present and just enjoy the moment. And so while everything is not perfect in my life, I can appreciate the perfectness of the moment.
Mm.
That's where I'm at.
Beautiful. I love that.
Thank you. Our backstory today is how we've supported each other's rest needs. And let's get into it. Like, how has that happened over the years? We surely, I can say that mine definitely is just you making that statement about how I was running myself ragged working on all of these projects that don't have to have immediate timelines. You know, I'm breaking myself down when there are other more important things that need to come to the forefront, like focusing on the work that we're doing together and other things that just need to be prioritized over my dream projects. So that to me is one example that just comes to mind right off the top. But what about you?
Yeah, the one that's coming to mind right off the top of my head is indirectly related to rest. But one time you told me that I have a lot of receiving work to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what is coming to mind because I think I'm thinking of it in the context of giving myself rest has been something I've really struggled with.
Mm-hmm.
Like we mentioned either last week or the week before, I think it was 2 weeks ago. It's such a struggle to create a space for rest and a time for rest. And I want to be existing in a state of repose on a nightly basis.
Mm-hmm.
If not, incorporating something similar to a Sabbath into my week every week. I was listening to this podcast recently where he was saying, what if I spent 1/7 of my life with a different quality of time? Because I've been noticing that, first of all, I super resent the pace of life that I feel I'm expected to live at.
Mm-hmm.
I resent the onslaught of technology that has happened in my generation. I feel so lucky that Facebook didn't really even get introduced until I was in college.
Right.
So my adolescence was not documented, thank God. There's probably 3 pictures of me in my cystic acne phase, and in all 3, I'm covering my face with either my hands or my hair. Like, what if?
You're funny.
Also, there was just an expectation of documenting my every move, you know? So I don't like this pace. I don't like texting. I met someone new recently, and I just told her, I was like, I don't text. I just don't text, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting more boundaried in terms of the way I want to spend my time. I love to talk on the phone, but I don't like texting because when I'm texting, it interrupts everything I'm doing because now I have to completely stop and type into my phone. And like I said, then they're going to text back, which is annoying because then I have to text them again. It's just something I don't like doing.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when people try to engage me in deep conversations via text, I just feel very frustrated by that because we can't talk like this. We're not actually getting anything across and it's incredibly time consuming for little to no return. So technology, I've been very wary of. It's well known that phones are designed to hook your attention. And so Herschel and I have been trying to do a phone Sabbath where every night between 7 and 9, we just put our phones in the other room or we just banish our phones somewhere else where we can't be checking them for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that I really want to return to because I can't seem to establish one single day of the week where we're completely phone free. But generally speaking, I actually don't use my phone that much. I stopped using social media in 2017 when I got sober. So that is one thing that I see the temptation. I see that when I do have to open it, let's say I'm doing a Facebook marketplace, or for example, this morning I wanted to see drone footage of the flooding and I had to open Instagram. And I do see that the thing that they're presenting with me with right away is very enticing. I'm interested. I'm always interested in the first thing that they post, but I'm not going to scroll. And that's it.
Yeah.
So it's just a rule that I have with myself. I'm not going to spend my time that way. So back to receiving work, what you had said to me, it was relating to me feeling really generous when giving to others, but then when considering a larger purchase for myself that was going to be a laptop, it was this little laptop so I could not only journal, but also I was interested in that time at taking some online courses, and I didn't have a computer that was my own. I only had my work computer, and I just wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And the amount of money was not that significant, but I just wouldn't do it. And you pointed that out to me. You said, you know, you loaned this person this amount of money that was, you know, 4-5 times that, but you won't consider doing this thing for yourself, which is really going to improve your life. So that really impacted me because it did. There was truth to the fact that I feel more comfortable giving than receiving. I think that there's an element of vulnerability to receiving, and whether it's receiving help would be the number one. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to help myself to learn how to stop.
Yeah.
And to not be so brainwashed by the expectation of A, constant communication. So for example, there was some correspondence that happened for work that happened this morning before work hours. And once in a while, it's okay, but the level of distraction that creates for me is massive. As soon as some type of technological element comes in, I completely forget whatever I was doing. And it really bothers me that we're expected to not only do our job, but then also be in constant contact with so many different people, because every situation is energetically different and every situation has a different set of demands. And it's directly at odds. It is directly at odds with my everyday goal, which is to practice presence in each moment.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes me feel like I'm rushing all the time. And then I'm noticing, and it's also proven, that when you're rushing, your attentional faculties shut down. You're not able to perceive with openness because, like you said earlier, your perception narrows when you're rushing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So last night, I had a really successful, the reason why I went to bed at 9:30 is because I'm just thinking all the time about rest. And last night, I actually got in 2 episodes of This Is Us, believe it or not. So my nightly practice, usually I'll try for one, but I haven't been successful at it at all. Months have gone by with getting an episode once a week, not even. But the past week, I've just been feeling like I'm not going to take no for an answer. Me. Like, I'm talking to myself. I'm the one who's in my own way. So I'm wanting to believe that I'm worthy of rest and to give rest, but then I also need to really work on receiving rest, because a lot of times I'm creating the space for rest, but I'm not ready or willing to receive or inhabit that space.
Or take possession of it.
Yeah, like the delta between the gift and the receipt that we were talking about last week. So every night I'm doing this. I get my electric tea kettle and I do a lavender chamomile tea, and I'm laughing because it's actually part of Maya's bedtime ritual, is that she thinks that tea bags are called wood chips because they resemble wood chips. So every night she comes over and she's like, "Mama, time for wood chips," and she cannot proceed into reading her books
funny.
Unless she gets the wood chips and puts them into my cup. And you know, I have that cup that I'm obsessed with, the handmade ceramic cup, and it's got these imperfections all over it. And yes. I intentionally always choose the cup with the most imperfections because I just love that. What is that? Wabi-sabi? Is that what it is? The Japanese concept where pottery is actually less beautiful if it doesn't contain imperfections.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's a very wabi-sabi Kintsugi. Cup. I hope that's the word. It's what?
Well, I was thinking about kintsugi, where it's like they take something broken and make it even more beautiful.
Oh. Is that the one where they weld something together but with gold?
Yes, that's what that one
is. Yeah, yeah. I've seen those too. So I do my lavender chamomile tea and I sit on the couch and I do nothing while I drink it. So there's no phone nearby. There's no TV on. Just for while I'm drinking the tea, I do nothing. Because otherwise mm-hmm. I'll fly by and I won't even taste it. And then after that, I try to watch This Is Us. So that's my plan for tonight. I'm trying to create that space for myself where I'm in a state of repose on a nightly basis.
Mm-hmm. Just to add to that and let you know how just the focus on the practice and not the outcome. I'm actually reading The Practice by, is it Seth Godin or Seth Godin? But I'm reading The Practice and that was also what helped me see why the overcommitting to a lot of these tasks were not necessarily contributing to my best self. Because I was focusing on outcomes by a certain date. When instead I'd rather focus on the practices that make me my best in the moment. And then those outcomes will come. So there was one quote in the book where he says, get the practice right. It's actually Elizabeth King's. He quoted Elizabeth King. But he said, get the practice right and your commitment will open the door for the market to engage with your work. Process saves us from the poverty of our intentions.
Hmm.
How insane is that? Process saves us from the poverty of our intentions. So you're looking to institute the practice of rest and having that uninterrupted time with your family, there's nothing wrong with that in that you're doing, you know, maneuvering in a way that allows. And I mean, just we do have to have some sort of flexibility. Like, you know, my phone is on do not disturb pretty much 100% of the time. There has to be some level of flexibility. And my thing is, it's like my family fell in love with me all over again while I was there. So it's like the phone calls now, since I've been back, are longer and more, just more often than they were before I left town.
You're more connected.
So, yeah, it's a good thing. But at the same time, I still have to produce at a high level. So I cannot handle all of the consistent and constant interruptions to my day. So I just have to, I'm intentional now about checking in, saying my mom gave me this incredible thing for my face. And I used it and I was sharing with her some information from, you know, just how my skin felt and all this and that. But I was preempting her call later, if that makes sense, you know, preempting the call so that I don't have to be interrupted when it's not, you know, convenient. So I love that you're instituting the practice and we're both in that same situation. So for me, it's just what you did. It's helping me shed some things so that I could be more productive and in essence, you know, a little bit more restful because I'm not beating myself down with tasks.
Let me ask you this. So you mentioned that you have more demands on your time phone call wise, how do you manage unscheduled communication? Meaning something, for example, that prevents me from always shutting down unscheduled communication is people pleasing. So last night, someone from work texted me to ask, how are you? I heard that there was really serious flood advising shelter in place last night. And it was 9:30 at night and I had just climbed into bed, but I felt that I couldn't go to sleep until I responded.
Yeah. So it just depends on what it is. But I do things a little bit differently. So if my kids, my mom, my siblings pretty much are going to call every day, right? I anticipate those calls. So it's like I said, I try to take a preemptive or set aside time. Like when I'm taking my breaks in between, I'll call my daughters and I'll do a three-way call with them. Let's get everything off your chest. Let's talk about how your day is going, what's working, what's not. You know, give them a little bit of positivity, tell them I love them, get off the phone, and then we'll chat later when I have another break, when it's convenient for us. Same thing with my brothers, really, especially the brother that's right up under me. We pretty much talk a few times a week. And so it's like I have to call him. I'll call him in the morning early, and first thing he'll answer the phone, top of the morning. And it's like, before I get my day started, I wanted to check in and see how everything's going, how's the baby, blah, blah, blah. Get that out. But then when it's those unscheduled calls that you're not anticipating, this is how I would answer the phone. If it's someone who I probably should answer this call, but it's not a convenient time, I'll be like, hey, I have 5 minutes. And they'll say, and so that lets them know, I wanted to answer your call because you're important to me, but I don't have time to sit and chit chat. So I'll answer and say, I have 5 minutes. And then literally at 4 minutes and 30 seconds, I'm like, okay, can I call you on Saturday when it's convenient for me? And then they'll usually counter with not Saturday, how Sunday? Sure, I'll call you on Sunday afternoon. And I'm off the phone. So I've kind of made sure that, you know, there's not an emergency going on, or I kind of answered the immediate question, but I don't have time to kiki and haha because I'm in the middle of my day.
So you don't ever just not pick up the phone and not respond?
People trust me to, if I don't answer the phone, to call back within a reasonable amount of time or respond.
I'm noticing the way you discuss your communication strategy is very proactive. Mm-hmm. You have a recognition of the time commitment that you're going to give to each person, and then you call them during the times that's convenient for you. So you call your brother in the morning. You grab both your daughters on the same call every day. Mm-hmm. It's very proactive. But also, I know from my communication with you over the years that when I call you, 90% of the time when you don't pick up, I'm receiving a text that says what you're doing, why you're busy, when you'll get back to me. Mm-hmm. It's very clear communication. And that sounds like a big commitment when I think about doing that myself, but it feels very safe as the recipient of that type of communication. Mm-hmm.
Because you know you can trust me to call back. You know, yes. I'm actually doing what I say, I'll call you back. You know, or I'm working on a big project, can't talk now, does this afternoon work? Can I call you in an hour? And I really keep that up. Like, I'm going to call you back in an hour.
Yeah.
So it's just that if you can be trusted to do that, and I feel like that, remember we were talking several weeks ago about your friend who doesn't respond until it's just convenient for her,
if it ever
becomes convenient for her. I don't necessarily want to be that person, but I also cannot give people the power to take my attention off. I'm big on flow. And what people don't understand about the power of flow is once you get into it, that's when you're pouring the best parts of yourself into the project that you're working on. And once I learned that, I could not handle the constant distractions that keep me from flow. Because what's the point of working on something if you're not going to give it your best? So that's why that's important to me.
For me, just the person calling me or especially texting me when I'm in the middle of something is so distracting that it brings me completely out of what I'm doing. And I miss those days so much before cell phones, where if I'm driving, I'm just driving.
Yeah.
If I'm at the grocery store, I'm just shopping. I miss that so much because I think part of my attention deficit is trying to multitask when that's not really possible. So if I'm at the grocery store and I'm texting, I'm not also seeing and experiencing.
And it's not even good for us. And especially you with the possibility of ADHD and you're doing things as they cross your line of vision. You can't have so many things crossing your line of vision. That's just what has to happen. So you're yeah. the person that has to, I mean, it's such a fine line because you have children. It's easy for me to do this because my children are adults. I can put my phone on do not disturb. I can, you know what I mean? But you have children. You could very well have emergencies and you're the contact person, right? And so, but it's also a fine line. Like if you're going into TJ Maxx and it's going to be a 15-minute run, what, why not leave your phone in the car?
Yeah.
Get in there, do what you got to do. Check your phone before you start your car. No one's called. You like to talk in the car anyway. You can call people back at that moment. But in that 15 minutes that you're inside the store, just take that. Get that way you can be productive, like, but you can do it in a concise way. You're not languishing in TJ Maxx for 30 minutes because you're on the phone on a 15-minute run.
I love that you think I can go into TJ Maxx for 15 minutes. That delights me that you think that would even be a possibility. I want to transition, actually, because we're sort of already on it, but to the life focus question, which is rest as productivity and spiritual necessity,
mm-hmm.
because what you're saying is making me think maybe I need to institute periods of rest from my phone in shorter segments, like you're saying, where it's mm-hmm. if I'm going to run into a store, I don't need to bring my phone.
Right.
But with the communication and my attention, so my attention being torn by unscheduled communication, being in direct conflict with my spiritual goal of practicing presence in the moment. When your method of you right away address the communication, the point of communication, let them know here's the situation, meaning I'm available or I'm not available, but also creating a follow-up for yourself. And yes. then also the way that you've prioritized and scheduled the communication because you already understand what the time commitment is going to be is unthinkable for me because I don't think ahead like that. So, and also like your brain is so much more organized than mine. So when you say I have an understanding of the time commitment that I give to each person in any week or day, to me, I just feel like I'm flying by the seat of my pants all the time. It's almost as if I have no idea who I talk to at any given time. And I kind of don't. Sometimes I look at my phone and because I have to call my dad or Herschel and I'll be scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. And I'm like, where even are the people that are in my life? There's so many points of contact in any given day. And I don't even have that many people in my life. But sometimes when I pull up the phone and I'm trying to call Herschel, I can't even get to it. I have to back out into contacts and then come back in through searching for the name.
So to prevent that, do you have like your like a contact list, like your frequently called or your favorites list?
I do. I just never use it for some reason. I should just use that. I just never, I always think that's how disconnected I am with how I spend my time contact-wise. So whoever calls me, I'll just pick it up and then we'll just get into it. And then an hour or two will pass.
I would never do that.
I know.
That made my skin itch. I'm not kidding you.
It's so spontaneous and it derails whatever I'm doing. But it's so funny because that makes it so that for me, the only other option is to totally avoid and I am unavailable. There's no text. Hey, I'm not trying to create any type of follow-up for myself. I don't want to promise you I'm going to get in touch at any time. And I certainly don't want to commit to the next available moment I have. Like for me, that just wouldn't work.
And so if that's the case, why would you answer the initial call?
Sometimes I don't. I'm just saying I'm all or nothing. So if I want to talk to you, I'm a landline person. In my mind, it's still a landline. So if someone's calling and I have the caller ID, if I didn't have the caller ID, it would be different. But I have the caller ID. So, case in point, yesterday, Joyce is calling. Oh, I want to talk to Joyce. I haven't caught up with her in a couple of days. Let's see what she's up to. So I pick up the phone and then we talk on the phone for an hour or for half hour or whatever amount of time.
No.
And everything I'm doing is completely derailed, but I'm experiencing this really great connection. And then other times, if she calls, I just don't pick up and I don't respond. And then it's a complete dead end. There's no follow-up. Just the next time, we'll see if it works out. With me, it's the exact same thing. If I call her and she doesn't pick up, I have zero expectation that she should or will call me back. And I'll just hear from you the next time it works out. And even yesterday, so I had at my lunch hour yesterday, I was thinking of someone who lives in Louisiana who's a really, really old friend of mine. And I was just thinking about her. And I usually translate in my head, if I'm thinking about you, it's that I'm supposed to call you. Like some universe message is coming to me that we should connect. And I called her, and she typically has the same type of communication as you, which is she's really quick on the response. She'll say, I'm doing this, but I'll call you later. But she didn't respond at all. And I was hoping, my first reaction is I was like, I hope she doesn't call me back. I hope that, not that I don't want to talk to her. I would love to talk to her. I just hope she doesn't feel like I've now given her some obligation that there needs to be a return phone call. I hope she feels completely free to do whatever she needs if she's not in a space where she can talk right now. I hope she doesn't, that this doesn't create a follow-up for her that's adding more to her plate. I hope she understands that I would never take it personally if she called me back, never, and we'll connect whenever.
And so for me, I feel like even with the calling the person that you thought of, I would have left the voicemail, said, I know no one ever listens to their voicemail, but I just wanted you to know that you crossed my mind today and I wanted to say hello. Feel no pressure to call me back.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. Just
that
simple.
That's a good move always.
And then even if they call back, I'm busy. I only have 5 minutes. I was just thinking about you. I really only have two minutes. Just thinking about you. You good? You good? All right, let's catch up when it's convenient for both of us. Bye.
Yeah, and then leave it open-ended.
Yeah. But it's just a way that you are committed to your relationships in the way that works for you. And it's so we always talk about setting boundaries with other people, but we don't set a lot of boundaries for ourselves. And this is a boundary that I've set for myself, that I'm going to honor the space that I'm in and just try and complete my tasks in a time way, in an organized way, and in a time frame that is suitable, rather than just, because I have had days where I've picked up the phone on an unscheduled call and it's lasted 3 hours. That can easily happen. But when you prioritize properly, and we've talked about this being an issue, but when you prioritize properly, I can say I cannot pick up that phone. But the thing is, it's building that trust in your relationships. People know that you're working on big projects. They know that you care about them. They know that if you could answer, you would. They also know you have small children at home. You know what I mean? And so there's some leeway that you have there.
I have a question though. So I'm going to give you a real-time example because I'm really seeing you as a role model for me here. And I'm not sure whether I can get there because my brain is not organized in the same way as yours. But I'm going to give you a real-time example so you can tell me what you would do if you were me. And then I can see if I can integrate that into my life. So just now, let's call it 2 minutes ago, I know what you're going to say, which is to put my phone on do not disturb, but I forgot to do it before the podcast today, okay? So I just, you know how the way that the phone like behaves makes you need to look at it? So my phone is basically halfway across my bed, but it lit up. So without even consenting to it, my hand shot across the bed to grab it, and I picked it up, and there were two messages coming in simultaneously. One was from work through the app that communicates to me through work, which I could turn off the notifications, but it would require changing the settings every single day, all day, so I don't do it. And then the other one came in from a friend who texted me a quote that I couldn't fully read. So I got the gist of both of them, just enough to figure out whether they were emergencies, basically, because I have this filter on where it's like, do I actually need to pay attention to this? But then I straight up just missed the last 30 seconds of what you were saying because I was now so completely torn away and because I can't pay attention to two things at the same time. So I guess what I'm saying is, what would you do? What do you do about texts? Because texts are like this nuisance, this gnat that
they're
comes
complete,
in.
Total interruptions.
It seems so small, but it's such a huge disruption. And I don't know if it's just how my brain works or what, but it really bothers me that I didn't just hear the last 30 seconds of what you said, because it was not just the initial text, oh, check it, process it, filter it. It was then like my whole brain just went into a state of lostness, because now I'm between tasks again and I'm just in this abyss of like, where am I? What am I doing? And I lost even more time than it took to check the original messages. So what do you do about texts?
So for me, the only thing that's an emergency, we only have probably 8 more minutes of the work that we're doing right now. I feel like if the job couldn't wait 8 more minutes, they would have texted again.
Or
right?
Called.
So I wouldn't have answered the first text.
Even looked at it. But that was subconscious. The looking at it was, I didn't consent to that. My body
but you
just
break.
Did it.
You break the autumn. I want to say the automaticity, and I don't even know if that's a word, but the automatic stimuli. You know, you break that by what we talked about, creating those boundaries. So do not disturb, and even putting my phone face down if it's not on do not disturb is the thing. I don't have that automatic response that you have anymore. I used to.
You broke that.
I used to, but I broke it
reflex?
Over time.
Really?
The reflex. Mm-hmm. I broke it over time, because what happens is, what I realize is, out of all of the emergencies that we imagine, how many of them actually are emergencies? And I'm telling you, it's the weirdest thing. It's almost like spiritually, we know when we should answer the phone. So when I got that call about my brother passing away, I knew that I needed to answer that call that day. It's mm-hmm. the craziest thing. It was not the call that I sent the I'll call you back message. So it's like I've taught myself to be more in tune with what I should pick up, what I should respond to, what I just learned that over time, because I stopped responding to everything. And what it is, you know, we get these dopamine hits when we're picking up our phones all the time. And it's such a cheap hit that I just would rather have the more expensive hit, you know, of actually engaging when it's right for me to engage, and when I can give my whole self to that engagement. Because that's going to be more fulfilling than looking at a text that I can't even respond to right now anyway. And again, it takes me from being 100% present to what I'm doing in the moment, which I would rather be present in what I'm doing, or I'd rather not do it at all. I'm also an all or nothing girl in that way.
When you're on a phone call, are you aware of how much time has elapsed?
If
you don't have time constraints?
I'm pretty cognizant. But if I don't have time constraints, and if I say it's a weekend, it's my day off, and I can talk to whoever I want for however long I want, trust, I'm going to do that with all of me.
Yeah.
So I can have a 3-hour phone call. We've had them.
Oh, yeah,
I can have a 3-hour phone call with no problem. But if I have work to do, it's just not going to happen. And I'm going to let you know from the beginning, so there's no offense. And if you know me, you understand. You know me, you trust me, and you know that we'll have our time when it's appropriate.
Hmm.
So I think this has been great. I want to get into our, since we're trying to honor our times, I want to get into our recipes for today. And today's recipe is a Sabbath slow cooker. I think it's awesome that you've been using the word Sabbath, but a Sabbath slow cooker dish. So what would you use?
I almost never give beef recipes. Please buy meat responsibly. But I'm going to do a beef, because the thing with, I feel like with slow cooker, I have yet to find a recipe. If someone wants to give me one, I would be so happy to have it. But I have yet to find a recipe that's vegetables in a slow cooker. because they just become mush. There's no reason to overcook.
Why do you need vegetables
like
alone in a slow cooker?
Vegetables, like, cook them fast, blanch them, you know, fry them, do something with the texture of them. Don't just let them turn into mush slowly over time. So there's nothing really vegetarian that does that. Meanwhile, one time I was at a work event and there was this, it's called a Mississippi pot roast, and it was just delicious. Herschel doesn't go in for it because he says it's too salty, and I do like things that are salty, but the one thing with this recipe to know is just do not salt the meat. So you take a chuck roast. I do like to brown it on both sides. I would do it for like a Super Bowl party, something that's a real celebration. When you're coming together to break bread, I've been thinking a lot about this Sabbath and how in a lot of religious communities, it's the coming together and the rest and the community. It's really, there's this enshrined period of rest where even with Sabbath, they do it as a community. So it's more normalized. It's not like, oh, I'm dipping out of the pace. I'm not responding to my work messages. It's not just me. Everybody's taking a rest now. So with this recipe, I would do it for a Super Bowl party or something where there's a special occasion. So I would take the chuck roast, I would brown it on both sides, and then it's the easiest and not particularly healthy recipe. It probably contains a ton of chemicals, but sometimes really good things do. And you put one packet of ranch dressing mix, one packet of au jus gravy mix, and then you'd put butter and then some, I don't know how you say it. Pepperoncini peppers? Is that how you say it? Those yellow ones?
I call them pepperoncinis.
Pepperoncinis. Pepperoncinis. Mm-hmm. And you just basically slow cook that. And it is freaking delicious. You could put it over pasta. You could put it on those little Hawaiian rolls, I imagine would be delicious. You could even do like some type of chip if it was sturdy enough.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot go wrong with either gravy or ranch dressing. So all those packets are just kind of doing the work for you. And you can throw that in there in 5 minutes and it makes such a great football snack.
That sounds so good.
8 hours it's got to cook though. So
that's so good.
Right, mashed potatoes it would be really good over too.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I do a great pot roast. I love it. Okay. My family loves it, and it's one of those things that I think I told the story about making it for my son's party, and it was insane.
Yes. Oh, you're going to give us that one?
No, but I'm going to do beef stew.
Okay.
I'm going to do beef stew. Okay. Because for me, beef stew is that thing. It's like you either have the butcher cut up a chuck roast for you and into chunks. I like my chunks medium, not too big, but not too small. And I use red potatoes, carrots, celery, garlic. I use onion. I'm not doing anything without onion. Mm-hmm. And I season the beef lightly because, again, like you said, it can get salty. If I want to do a simple beef stew, I will do the beef stew packet. You know how we've talked about the packets? I'll do a beef stew packet, mix that up as it instructs on the package, add a little Worcestershire sauce to have it, and I use my go-to four on the beef just to keep this particular recipe simple. Mm. I'll use my go-to four on the meat, but lightly, and let the vegetables do their thing. Like I cut up my carrots, I cut up the potatoes, wash everything, cut up the celery, wash everything. But then on top of adding that stuff, so in the beginning, nothing but the beef for the first probably 30 minutes, nothing but the beef goes into the slow cooker. And then before I leave for work, this is something I used to do before going to work. Before I leave for work, I put in the potatoes, the carrots, the celery, that kind of stuff. So all day that stuff is going. But what's so interesting is right before, probably 10 minutes before I'm about to serve it, I'll take some mixed, I'm always going to have mixed vegetables in my freezer because I love them, right? And I use them for so many things. I will add some mixed vegetables, which adds some more carrots and peas, maybe a little corn, you know, whatever's in the mixed vegetable pack, pour that in there and let that get, you know, in that juice, and I'll serve it. You can have it with crackers. You can have it over rice. You can have it with cornbread. I just love a good beef stew. But you let that puppy go all day, and it's something that will have the house so fragrant when you come home, you know, or after a couple of hours, And, but it's one of those filling meals. It's just that thing, that warm bowl mm-hmm. in your, both your mm-hmm. hands, you know? So, but I love a good beef stew, and you can either sear, you can do it a couple of ways. You can sear your beef before you cook it, or you can put it in there straight, you know, just season, put it in there straight. I've done it both ways. I it's so funny because I have, you know how you talked about when I put on makeup, I have my easy breezy face. So I have yes. a full beat, and then I have an easy breezy face that takes about 5 minutes. I do the same thing with cooking. So I have my difficult way to make something, and then I have a simple way to make something.
Oh, I like that.
In case I'm just short on time and I still want this yeah. thing, there's a way to do it in a that's short and simple, and just allows you to get the same or a very similar result with not as much of a time suck. So, but I'll share all the information on the beef stew in the show notes.
You know, one of our listeners, actually a friend of my parents, she said all of her favorite recipes start with the word easy in front of them.
Yeah.
Because she ultimately just kind of needed to knock it out.
Yeah.
So I like the idea of just having, that made me think, yeah, maybe I am overcomplicating it. Maybe the trick to getting to the rest period each night is to just not try to deliver something incredible. Like the other day
Every
for dinner
time.
On a Monday, yesterday, I made tortilla catalan. Why?
On a Monday.
On a Monday. Why did you do that? You've never tried that recipe. It took forever. I put it out at 8:30 at night. Like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Simplify so you can get to the period of rest.
Especially during the week. Like, do all your fancy stuff on the weekend when it's just you and your family.
Yeah.
Like, you guys should be having simple things like spaghetti and, you know, like simple things during
yes.
the week because you don't Quick. Have all the time in the world with your kids.
And I want to spend the available time having fun with my kids,
yes.
not running around trying to rush. Because again, with the rushing and the shutting down of perception.
Yeah. So yeah. I think we're
so
doing
that's
this.
The spiritual practice.
Do you love that we're doing this? I feel so intently that I'm growing. I have to speak for myself. I'm growing as I listen back to these episodes and I can see my personal growth just from us discussing things. And it's funny because it's like, oh, well, I've always done it this way. And then you see it from someone else's perspective and it's like, oh, I could modify that slightly and be even better. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty cool.
Today, it's hard to tell what I'm feeling because I'm in one of those dissatisfaction
yeah.
modes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm showing up and that's about as good as it gets.
That's all I can do today. I'm here.
That's what
I
got.
Dang it.
And you've got it.
I'm here and be blessed by that. But thank
all
you.
I have today.
Thank you for joining us for another awesome episode of the What's the Temp podcast. We enjoy you and we thank you for showing up for us and hanging in here with us. Be great on purpose today.
Your intros and outros save me and this podcast because if I was ever going to try to do something so upbeat, even in the beginning or the end, I would never be able to do it. So actually that did bring a huge smile to my face because I just love the energy you bring and you do lift me up. So I am ending this on a higher note than I even thought possible just from that outro. So
love it.
have a great 24 or have the best 24 that is at your disposal today. Peace.
Bye.
Bye.